This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. Coming up on Africa News Tonight...
It's really going to have a very, very big impact and a very bad one.
That's Ugandan businessman Ivan Kioni talking about the country's new social media tax. Details coming up. Also, the African Union summit wraps up today in Mauritania after its agenda was diverted by three terrorist attacks in Mali. And thousands of investors, traders, entrepreneurs, business leaders, and key economic players from around the world recently participated in the 2018 Africa Trade and Investment Global Summit in Washington, D.C. We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story, the African Union summit wraps up today in Nouakchott, Mauritania, after its agenda was diverted by three terrorist attacks in Mali. Mauritanian President Mohamed Ould Abdel Aziz said a lack of international help was undercutting security in the Sahel. He said Africa needs a comprehensive plan to battle extremists, but one that takes into consideration the cultural and economic issues that cause the violence. A bomb in Mali on Friday killed three civilians, and four Mali soldiers died Saturday when their vehicle hit a landmine. Yesterday, at least two people died in a car bombing that also injured several French soldiers on patrol. Leaders of the summit intended to focus on funding issues and reforms, as well as ways for government to return funds illegally siphoned off from sales of the continent's vast natural resources. The gathering of more than 40 African leaders wraps up after an appearance by French President Emmanuel Macron. While he is at the African Union summit today, French President Macron will be pushing to build greater support for security issues, especially in the Sahel. One main focus is the so-called G5 force, a multinational force to fight extremist violence in Burkina Faso, Chad, Mali, Mauritania, and Niger. While it has gotten support from the United States and European Union and other governments, it is behind schedule. But as journalist Catherine Field in Paris reports, Macron sees security in the Sahel as a broad issue. She spoke with VOA's Kate Pound-Dawson today.
The French president is really looking at expanding relations across the African continent, encouraging the African Union, and really going very heavily on encouraging multilateral solutions. France is well aware that there are other UN Security Council members that are looking more for bilateral or even trilateral solutions. But France says it's time for it to step up, support the AU efforts, not only through the UN, but also through other bodies such as the European Union, so as these countries really do have multilateral solutions, not just to the economy, but also to social measures.
Now, Mr. Macron has been a strong advocate of the G5 Sahel force, but there have been a lot of problems getting that going. What are the problems, and is he expected to address those today?
The big problem that the French president is having is getting the money. There have been public pledges of hundreds of millions of euros from Saudi Arabia, from the EU, from the UAE, but that money hasn't come forward yet. So France is very concerned that that financial and material support is slow in coming. Of course, President Macron has been heartened by the arrival of extra troops and hardware from the United Kingdom. So that is a plus for him. But at the same time, he is aware that he has got at home, not really a loud, but a sort of simmering discontent that French troops have been in the Sahel now since 2013. They have been taking an active role in military operations. And there is a feeling that France needs to reorientate, to train and support African troops, rather than the French being in the front line itself. Now, this also comes at a time when the French are well aware that there's the risk of foreign fighters moving from Syria and Iraq into the Sahel region. They're well aware of that. They're well aware of the fact that this G5 Sahel force is more is being asked of it. It is not just terrorism, cross-border organized crime, but it's also human trafficking. So Emmanuel Macron, on the one hand, realizes that Europe's security is dependent on a safe Sahel, but at the same time realizing that France is pretty much on its own there.
All of this comes after 3 days of terrorist attacks in Mali. At least two of them were aimed directly at troops from Mali and French troops. How is the government in France responding to these attacks?
Well, on the one hand, they're looking at how they can be helped on the ground. This is, they seem to feel that for the moment, of course, they've got public opinion on their side. What they're really looking at is, if you like, a way of more training for the G5 Sahel armies. They really do have to get in there and do more training. If you look in specifically at the attack on Sunday, the French troops were injured. They weren't. There were no deaths among French troops. There were indeed local casualties. But what the French are saying is, look, we do have some of the hardware on the ground. There were these armored vehicles were there. They survived okay. So what the French are looking for really is training more of the local troops and just hoping that some of the funding does come through. It's a difficult call because for the French and other European neighbors, it seems like a battle a long way from home. But really, they need to keep that there and keep talking. And that's really, again, what Emmanuel Macron wants. They've got to keep having a dialogue with these African nations that is a new type of dialogue that isn't the old colonial-heavy relationship that France has had in the past, but really a new, open, what the French are calling a partnership with African nations.
That was reporter Catherine Field in Paris speaking with my colleague Kate Pound-Dawson. Ugandans are angry at the new tax on social media platforms, which took effect yesterday. While some have grudgingly paid the daily tax, others have tried to evade it through the use of virtual private networks. VOA's Catherine Nambi files this report from Kampala.
As part of a drive to improve funding for the budget, Uganda's government has started charging 200 shillings or 5 US cents daily on platforms that provide social media. Rashid Kamis is a businessman in Kampala. He is finding it hard to conduct his business using social media because of the tax.
I had to communicate to someone international. I have a business with her, but I failed because of that.
Ivan Cheyune is another outraged by the social media tax.
I'm already paying tax for airtime and the MB, so it's really unfair because it's like we are paying double tax, all right? I feel it's really going to have a very, very big impact and a very bad one. We might go back to the analog and SMS something, I don't know. So for now, I'm off.
Other Ugandans have viewed the move as one to curtail freedom of speech. Sasi Marvin is among them.
So the government has realized that we cannot achieve our aims of constricting freedom of expression, political expression especially, in the country by shutting down social media. So they are trying to improvise. How do we achieve the same effect of getting people off social media? Let's introduce a tax.
However, the Uganda Communications Commission says the tax is within the law. Ibrahim Bosa is the manager of consumer affairs in the Uganda Communications Commission.
The Parliament of Uganda passed this tax. I am informed that they actually conducted open public sessions for comments on this. This also means that our members of Parliament, each one of us, the member of Parliament that we elected, actually passed this tax. So you will find that agencies, implementing agencies like the URA, like the UCC, basically implement a law that has been passed in the country to make sure that there is compliance.
A number of Ugandans have switched to virtual private networks, VPN applications, to bypass the tax. VPNs enable people to use data bought from Uganda telecom companies but hide their Internet Protocol IP address. However, Bosa warns that VPNs will be blocked.
VPNs are very many and they keep coming up every day. The telecom companies have been directed to be able to subject these virtual private networks to this taxation. So it is possible that there could be a VPN or two or three today that actually are yet evading this kind of tax. But we know that as capacity goes on, as compliance increases, all these VPNs will be subjected to tax.
Lawyers also warn that under the tax laws, encouraging others to avoid the tax could bring prosecution. A group of lawyers and human rights activists have challenged the tax in the Constitutional Court. They argue that the tax makes accessing social media platforms a preserve of only the wealthy and controls access to the social media. They also argue that the tax suffocates businesses and job searchers who often use social media. Available data indicate that more than 10 million Ugandans use internet voice and data packages on average at least 180 days a year. This is Catherine Nambi for VOA News in Kampala.
Brazil has advanced to the World Cup quarterfinals with a hard-fought 2-0 victory over Mexico today. After a scoreless first half, Neymar put Brazil on the board in the 51st minute. Robert Firmino added the clincher just before full time. Brazil came into the tournament as one of the favorites and has been improving since a shocking draw with Switzerland in their opener. Underdog Mexico has made it this far for the 7th consecutive World Cup, but has lost all 7 dating back to 1994. The Brazil-Mexico match will be followed by Belgium against Japan. Belgium is heavily favored, but Japan is better rested after their coach took a controversial risk by sitting out 6 starters in a loss to Poland. For more on World Cup action, be sure to stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. You are listening to Africa News Tonight, live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. Here's a recap of our top stories. The African Union summit in Mauritania wraps up today after its agenda was diverted by 3 terrorist attacks in Mali. Ugandans are angry at the new tax imposed on social media platforms. And Brazil has advanced to the World Cup quarterfinals with a hard-fought 2-0 victory over Mexico today. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Thousands of investors, traders, entrepreneurs, business leaders, and key economic players from around the world recently participated in the 2018 Africa Trade and Investment Global Summit in Washington, D.C. The event provided a platform for companies from around the world that want to expand or establish business operations in Africa and learned about investment opportunities. My colleague Kim Lewis attended the event and spoke with several participants. Riai Sugihara is Director of Client Relations and Global Service for Webport Global, a global business-to-business online platform that is part of the Drew Company in Massachusetts. She highlights why it was important for her company to be part of the conference.
As I mentioned, you know, our parent company is in the World Trade Center's business. We've got an office in Boston, we've got one in Dublin, Ireland, and one here in Washington, D.C. through the International Trade Center. So we've always been in the business of international trade and trade opportunities for small and medium-sized businesses across the world, and especially in the regions that we're in. Obviously, the African market is a large and growing market, ever-growing market, I should say, and especially through some of the Western European small and medium-sized businesses that we've spoken to and have done business with, opportunities are immense for them in Africa, and they're constantly looking for ways to get into Africa, as well as source quite a bit of material from Africa for the products and services that they themselves produce. So for us, it's very important to be here this week.
Sugihara emphasized that while the continent is bursting with opportunities, there are challenges to overcome to expand a company in Africa.
You know, I think the organizations that we've talked to have been extremely welcoming, and there certainly is synergy there, and there's certainly a need for our technology to be there. I think the challenge is on the technology side and continuously having the opportunity for the African businesses to have easy internet access and accessible internet access that's speeding up to be able to pull up some of these opportunities for them for that market.
Another business anxious for growth in Africa is TransX, a company that offers solar pods for mass transit. There are small solar-powered cars that move on a track above the ground. The company says cities and towns can apply now to begin service in 2019. Tumani Joffrey Tumi of TransX says the company already is looking to Africa to expand.
My company is called TransitX. TransitX is a new company which has been introduced by the guy called Mike Stanley in the Massachusetts, United States of America. And the company is about modernizing the way transportation works. We have observed that there are so many crash and accidents happening around the world because there's no better or the best way of having a transportation which has less or minimal or no accident at all. So TransX was introduced to have zero accidents. It's like pods flying on a cable or beam and transporting people, let's say, a couple in depth of time.
Temu said his company offers a safe mode of transportation for African countries, and he said it is cost-effective for cities to operate and affordable for the consumer.
We are here today because we found that Africa is an open land of which there's no much construction has been done yet. So if we introduce this kind of mode of transportation, Africa will be very benefited on it. And we have already started in Ghana, probably going to go to Rwanda. Then we're going to talk with Zambia. My country, Tanzania, haven't yet started, but I'm looking forward to talking to my people.
Temu was hopeful the convention would help TransX close a deal for a project in Africa.
They've been ready to get bored on this, especially Ghana and Rwanda. And today I'm going to talk to somebody very important from Zambia. He's the head of Energy Regulatory Board of Zambia, and she's going to be in a good support with us. For now, we're going to start a fresh talk with Zambia.
That was Tumani Joffrey Tumi of TransitX. My colleague Kim Lewis spoke with him and other business people at the 2018 Africa Trade and Investment Global Summit in Washington. Police in the U.S. city of Boise, Idaho, today are investigating a stabbing attack that injured 9 people, many of them members of refugee families from Ethiopia, Iraq, and Syria. Officers say a man who was asked to move out of a low-income apartment complex returned and attacked a child's birthday party, stabbing 6 children and 3 adults. The refugee families are living in the complex after leaving their home countries to escape violence. A candlelight vigil is planned for tonight, and fundraising activities are underway to help the victims. Several were seriously injured. Timmy Earl Kinner, 30, of Los Angeles, was arrested and charged with 15 felonies. Police say he has a lengthy criminal record and spent time in prison. Z- Zimbabwe has slashed the prevalence of HIV in the country, including the rate of new infections, by half since the 1990s. Officials are crediting an all-hands-on-deck approach for making gains in the fight against a virus that once seemed unbeatable. VOA correspondent Adi Gondo toured the Impilo Hospital Clinic in Bulawayo's Mizilikazi suburb to look at one program coordinated by the National AIDS Council of Zimbabwe.
The government's AIDS healthcare and treatment program runs throughout the country, and Impilo Hospital Clinic, which is funded largely by AHF, is one of the beneficiaries. The clinic serves 12,000 people from children to adults and sees 350 patients per day. Through a memorandum of understanding with the government, the clinic here tests for HIV, treats related conditions, distributes male and female condoms, and offers counsel. The clinic's director, Dr. Tafazo Sibanda, talks about the partnership with the government.
In Zimbabwe, we got into an MOU with the Ministry of Health in 2016. So the MOU was to support what we call centers of excellence in HIV care and treatment. Okay. So at the moment, we are supporting Parenyatwa and Impilo, referral hospitals.
Okay. The National AIDS Council is the coordinating body for all HIV and AIDS treatment programs. Douglas Moyo is the Provincial Monitoring and Evaluation Officer for the Council.
We make sure that all sectors are actually involved in the fight against HIV. A good example is the journalists that we have today, whom are having this field visit with today. So we are working with the journalists as a sector as well to make sure that they also actually consume the knowledge and the skills.
The clinic has a critical difference from other HIV/AIDS treatment centers in the country. Patients are separated according to age groups, so it can use peer-to-peer counseling to help patients deal with stigma, discrimination, and pill fatigue. Trevor Chirimba-Mova is the director of partner organization Million Memory Project Zimbabwe, which offers counseling for HIV/AIDS patients at the clinic.
So this is a unique feature that you will not find in any other facilities. So Impilo may be viewed as a center of excellence as far as servicing adolescents, youth and adolescents living with HIV. This gives an advantage in that issues that concern the adolescents and youths are dealt with more scrutiny and at a better range, because the youths are in their own area and they can express themselves without any hassles.
About a third of the patients are adolescents. Clinic Director Sibanda says that may be the largest adolescent group being served by any clinic in Zimbabwe. Clinics such as Impilo require continued funding from organizations such as the USAIDS charity, AIDS Health Foundation, and the National Tax, which is specifically intended to fund HIV and AIDS care.
So we benefit from the AIDS levy through the disbursements that go to the Ministry of Health, to the arms of the Ministry of Health. Like, for example, the drugs that we get here, we get them through the NATFARM, National Pharmacy Stores, which is supported by the National AIDS Council.
As a result, the prevalence of HIV in Zimbabwe is down to 14% of the population from 28% in the 1990s. And the incidence rate, which is the rate of new infections, has also gone down from 0.86% to 0.4%. Reporting for VOA, this is Adi Gondo.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News, coming up at 16:30 UTC. For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of Africa News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Jonah Cummings, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth discussion on the 31st African Union Summit underway in Mauritania. The 2018 theme is Winning the Fight Against Corruption, a Sustainable Path to Africa's Transformation.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
hearty greetings to all our VOA listeners. This is Sonny Young, host of the Sunny Side of Sports. Please join me at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC, Monday through Friday, for special World Cup updates during the month-long football festival in Russia. Right here on The Voice of America.